Thank you for that good message and song. It's been a good song service this morning. Been a blessing. And aren't you thankful for the freedom that you have in the United States of America? But aren't you even more thankful for the freedom you have in the Lord Jesus Christ and purchased for us by His death, His burial, and His resurrection? What a blessing. Thank you for the good message and song. Gospel of Mark this morning, chapter number 8. Let's look at a familiar passage. We'll start reading in about verse 34 down to the last verse, which is verse 38. Mark chapter number 8, 34 through 38. Let's talk about that word that we'll see in the passage, that word prophet, but not the PH prophet in the Old Testament, which is, you know, they're in the New Testament too. Not that kind of prophet. There are no men that are prophets necessarily today unless they're preaching God's word. That's the only prophecy that comes to man. Holy Spirit deals with us, but He deals with us through the Word of God. And men call themselves prophets, and women call themselves prophetesses, or something like that. The only prophets today are the ones that preach God's Word. And we can all preach God's Word and share that with each other, can't we? And share that with folks that need it. Mark chapter 8, look at verse number 34. And I'm going to talk about that familiar verse, or that familiar word, and that familiar verse of verse 36. Did you hear about the two men that were shipwrecked on a desert island? I think I told you before, but it's been a while. One of the men was a churchgoer, and the other man was not. So the minute they arrived on the island, the non-churchgoer began screaming and yelling, "We are going to die!" The other man was calmly propped against a palm tree, maybe a coconut tree, which drove the other guy crazy. "Don't you understand? We are going to die. What's wrong with you?" "You don't understand," said the churchgoer. "I make $100,000 every week." "Well, what difference does that make?" asked the non-churchgoer. "We're on a desert island, and your money's not any good here, and we're going to die." The churchgoer smiled again. He says, "You just don't get it. I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe, and my pastor will find me." That's the kind of prophet that you spell with the S with the line through it, you know, the squiggly line with the other line through it. That's not the prophet I'm really going to talk about too much this morning. I'm going to talk about what's in the verse. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The Bible says, this is Christ speaking after the feeding of the 4,000 earlier in the chapter and earlier in the passage here. In verse 34, He says, "And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and of My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels." Let's bow for prayer this morning. Thank You, Father. May Your blessing be upon the reading of Your holy word this morning. We thank You for this time. We thank You for the service that You've already given us with the good singing, Father, this being our last Sunday before the 4th, and we thank You for the independence that our nation has and the freedom that we enjoy. That freedom that we enjoy, Father, means so much to us, but even in the eternal sense, we have the freedom to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. So, Father, that means so much. Not everybody enjoys that. We take it for granted, but, Father, may we stop and pause today and thank You for it. Father, we do pray for our nation today, but, Father, we pray for this time and this service and those that You've brought to gather together here at this appointed time. May Your Word of God help us today. We know there's always profit in Your Word. Father, we can be benefited. We can gain something today if we give attention and we give heed to Your Word. So help us to do that, Father. Help us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be open to the working of Thy Spirit, and we'll give You the thanks and the praise for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36 is a very familiar verse, and you often hear it, and I've spoken and talked about it some before, and maybe you've used that verse when talking with somebody before. I don't want to basically expound the passage this morning. I would like to give a sense of what the scripture is dealing with here. The Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry is dealing with the nation of Israel, and he has the people gathered to him, and you'll see that in another verse or two that we'll look at. And you had a miraculous feeding, a miracle that took place, and you had throngs of people that were fed, that were looking for instantaneous satisfaction in the moment. They wanted to be satisfied, and a miracle will do that for you. But Christ is trying to help them with what's eternal and what's most important, and he draws attention to the fact that you could have the whole world and maybe all the food that's in it. Maybe the food's what, maybe, especially at 11:30 on a Sunday, maybe that's what appeals to you some. Or maybe you want all the money that's in the world. That would be appealing pretty much to anybody that has a pulse these days, I think. That would be appealing, or all the notoriety or all the fame or all the honor or admiration that the world could give. But what is that in comparison with your eternal soul that's going to continue to exist somewhere forever? Doesn't it put things in perspective for us this morning? I think that was a perspective that the Lord Jesus was trying to make these people that were gathered to him understand at this time. And he's speaking of it, and I could talk a lot about it, but basically he's talking about if you'll deny what's important to you right now as you're in the flesh in this earthly realm, if you'll deny that and look to the future in me, and the kingdom is what he's referring to, the coming kingdom, which is still a coming kingdom today for the nation of Israel, where the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. He talks about it in verse number 38. He says, talking about the Son of Man, which is a messianic term fulfilled from the old time prophecies. That's capital S there. That's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the nation of Israel. He says, when he cometh in the glory of his Father, second coming glory, second advent, with his holy angels. He comes back with an army of angels. If there's saints included in that army, they're Old Testament saints. They were the ones that were in paradise before paradise was removed after the cross, after God's cross work, and taken to heaven at that time. And that's what that's referring to, the coming kingdom. I'm not going to necessarily deal with you a lot about that this morning, except to say if that was an important perspective for the people that were listening to God in the flesh speak of on that day, well, this is also an important perspective for us to have today in the day that we live in. Measuring what our humanity and our flesh desires compared with what lasts for all eternity. Trying to make a comparison between the two. I'd like to do that this morning just for a few minutes. I just want to look at a few scriptures with you. I'm even going to try and go in order, okay? We're in the Gospel of Mark. I'll try not to backtrack past where we're at right now. We'll just go forward, okay? We'll just go to the right and where we're at. Let's, first place I want to go is John, Gospel of John chapter 6 and verse 63, if you'll go there with me. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just skip over Luke. We'll save him for another day. And let's go to John chapter 6. Look at the lot of verses in John chapter 66. John chapter 6. You know what my brain's trying to say is there's more than 66 verses there. But anyway, John 6:63 is where I want to go. And here you have another group. Maybe there's some similar people in this throng of people that had been fed by the Lord Jesus in the feeding of the 5,000. You can see that at the beginning of the passage there. And there's 12 baskets left over, John 6:13 tells us. And there's significance to that. It's not so each disciple could take one home. It wasn't. That's not the reason, even though that's been given before. But you have the folks in John chapter 6. They got a meal ticket. They got fed. And in verse 26, Jesus even tells them this. He even identifies. He says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles. It's a miracle taking 5 loaves and, what was it, 2 fishes or 3 fishes? Crackers and sardines? And feeding 5,000 plus with it, right? That's a miracle. He says, you're not following me. You're not after me. You're not with me on this day after because of the miracles. You're with me. Because in verse 26, he says, because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. So they got a meal out of the deal, and they're saying, you know what? I slept on that meal. We're ready for another meal. What are you going to show us today? What are you going to do for us today? Make some Hostess Twinkies today or something. Do something for us. We're hungry. We're hungry again today. That was for yesterday. We're hungry today. And he actually identifies, you're not after me because of the right reason. You're not even after me because you believe it's the Son of God in your presence that did something miraculous. You're after me because you got your belly full yesterday and your belly's empty today. And he talks about that, goes all the way through, tries to tell them that he's the bread of life. And that eating of and partaking of him in the spiritual sense is more important than having bread every day supplied to them for free. And that's what he talks to them about. And you get down to John 6:63, look at it. Christ is speaking. He says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth means make alive, right? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So here's our comparison this morning. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We got to get our eyes and our mind and our affections off the world and start concentrating on what's eternal, something like our own soul, our eternal soul. In John 6:63, Christ says, the flesh profiteth nothing. When you live this earthly life with the flesh in mind, when the flesh is in charge, when the flesh is in view, when the flesh is your motivation, you know what it profits? You know what's on the other side of the equal sign? Nothing. Nothing. In fact, if you put a space between the O and the T, you have no thing. That's what you get for living after the flesh. You get nothing. A big fat zero is all you get. That's all you get. You can feed the flesh every day, and it profiteth nothing. In fact, if you sow to the flesh, the scripture tells us, of the flesh you'll reap destruction. So actually, it's worse than nothing. It's negative, right? You're down at the red numbers when you walk after the flesh. So here the comparison is between the flesh profiteth you nothing, but what about the words of Christ? We talked a little bit about those in Sunday school this morning. Brother Case did a good job in Sunday school. When it comes to Christ's words, it's the Spirit that he speaks. The words that he speaks unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word does profit. The flesh profiteth nothing. But God's word does have great eternal profit for us. 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. There are words that are after the flesh, but that's not what we teach. That's not what the Bible teaches. But what do we teach? That which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So God's words are eternal life. Can we get our eyes this morning off our flesh and the things of this earth? And can we get our eyes and our attention and our affection on God's words? Do you know if you can do that? If you can make that decision, if you can apply that decision, do you understand that you're going to have profit that comes from that? Now, once again, every time we think of the word profit, we have to attach it to dollar signs. I'm talking about something that lasts longer than a dollar sign. If you're in the business world, or if you're up on that stuff, or if you just watch the news, you know that the dollar sign doesn't mean near what it used to mean. You ever hear us on the radio station in the morning sometimes, and where you'll read about, you know, like 1959 or something like that. Well, this, you know, a loaf of bread costs this much, a new car costs this much, a gallon of milk costs this much. Do you see how much more dollar signs it takes to buy some of those little things now than it did back then? Yeah. Do you realize the dollar is worth less and less and less as time rolls on? So if we're consumed with the dollar, and that's all we're consumed with, well, we're consumed with something temporary that eternally is going to profit us nothing. So God's trying to get our attention this morning. I hope he has it. No, let's don't mind earthly things, but let's set our affections on things above. Let's mind the eternal words of God. Isn't that just blow your mind that God's given us his words and these will last forever and ever and ever, but yet I have it right now while I'm in this earthly realm? I'm in the earth where everything that I see, and I've been around here pretty much, I guess I've been around here my whole life. That's where I was born. I was born in Winter Haven. So everything I see, I don't remember the old building. I mean, I've been in the old building. I had school in the old building. I don't remember going to church in the old building. It's always been this building, all right? So this building's been around as long as I have, pretty much. Do you know that this building is not going to last forever? This building is temporary. Oh, it might have been here for almost 40 years, but it's still temporary. But this book that I have in my hand will be around as long as God's around. Forever and ever. So can't I and can't you get your attention on what is eternal, what actually profits? Think about it. Now, you have some people here in John 6. They're living for today. They're living for the moment. They're out to get their belly full for that day. They're trying to get their free meal that day. Then maybe you could look at a better group of people. Maybe if I had time, we could turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. It's the charity chapter. And verse number 3 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor." So this is somebody that actually has something that's given to somebody else. Okay? So we can see both groups in our nation today on this Sunday before the 4th. We can see the ones that are out to get something every day that really doesn't belong to them. They just want it free. They think they're entitled to it. Okay? Then you have others that say, "Well, I actually have something, and I'm going to, by choice," and they get to make the choice, by the way, that's interesting, "but by choice, I'm going to give it to somebody else. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," and here, that's some philosophy, thank you for your help there, philanthropist, but I just can't say, I'm going to have to say it wrong just to say it, philanthropy, that's not the right way to say it. But it's there in my mind. It has been all week, but I just can't say it right now. So anyway, it's not in the Bible, so that's a word that's not important, okay? But you have someone that is willing to give of what they have to somebody else, and even someone that says, "And though I give my body to be burned," we don't know anything about that, but someone that's willing to sacrifice their own life. We can think about that when it comes to times that we think of Memorial Day or Veterans Day and things like that, those that have given their life and actually they live for something greater than themselves and they gave to those that came after them. We can think about that, but even in times of martyrs that lived before us, they gave their body to be burned. And what great sentiments we can say there. You have someone that's going to give something by choice to somebody else because they don't have it. Or you have someone that's going to sacrifice their own life, self-sacrifice. But do you know without God that still equals nothing? "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So when it comes to giving to others, you can take part in liberality, but liberality without God just makes you basically a liberal, right? You can't fix things by your philanthropy. There you go. All right, we did it. Okay, just took a while. I had to warm up. You can't fix things by being other people's benefactor. You can't even lay down your life and fix things. You have to receive what God has done and act upon it. And I can do good things, and if I haven't received God's love, and now I'm not living in that and reflecting God's love, it's all for nothing. It profiteth zero. Just like someone that lives after the flesh, someone that walks after the flesh, someone that gains the whole world and loses their own soul. Think about it. Those things equal nothing compared with charity. Let me go to the next book, okay? Quickly, Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. It's just to the, I said next book, but of course you got to skip Acts again. We're just shunning Luke today altogether, okay? Romans chapter 2. Luke wrote Luke and Acts. Romans chapter 2 and verse 25. Sure is a lot of information here, but we'll just cut to the chase the best we can. Paul dealing with Jewish people that are boastful in their attempt to keep the law. And in Romans 2:25, Paul says, "For circumcision," and there's lots of people in that time especially that boasted in circumcision because that was after God's Old Testament law. "For circumcision verily profiteth if," there's a condition on it, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. You know, I saw how it works when it comes to comparing everything the world has to your eternal soul. When it comes to comparing walking after the flesh compared with Christ's eternal words, now we can make a comparison talking about your works. Maybe your religious works, let's say it that way. Your own system or someone else's system that you walk after, what does that equal for you in this life? Now it says here that there's profit if you can keep the law. Now we understand, and if we keep reading in the passage, that no one's ever kept the whole law outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. 613 points that we can identify. No one's ever been blameless when it came to all the statutes and all the commandments and all the precepts of God's holy law. That's holy, just, and good. Only Jesus Christ came and fulfilled the law. He filled it full. He completed it. Here it says in verse number, I believe it is 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law, basically a Jew saying, look how I keep the law, and look how that Gentile doesn't keep the law. Look at it. Through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? So when man goes about to follow a system of works to make himself acceptable in God's sight, you know what it equals? It equals failure. It equals dishonor. You actually, as you go about to honor God in your way of your works, you're actually bringing dishonor upon God. Why? Because Jesus Christ already came and kept the law in our place. And now we're supposed to be looking to the prophet of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we have in him. Think about it. You compare the works and religion that man seeks after, you compare that with the righteousness of the law of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't compare the two. You can't compare the two. Look at Romans chapter 3, and the conversation continues. Verse number 20, Romans 3:20. Next page. The Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at verse 21. But now, what's different? Jesus came, fulfilled the law. Now look at it. But now the righteousness of God without the law, outside of the law, is manifested. It's manifested in Jesus Christ, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Here it is, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that them that believe, for there is no difference. You know what verse 23 says? Look at verses 20, 21, and 22, and you understand you cannot compare someone trying to go about to establish their own righteousness before God with the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. There's no comparison. Your best day, no comparison to Jesus Christ. The best that you could ever do, reaching your potential, using all your means and everything that you can give, no comparison to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. See, you can go about to establish your own righteousness. You can walk after something even holy, just, and good like the Old Testament law, but that is not to be compared with what you have in Jesus Christ. Where's the profit at? Where's the gain at? Where's the benefit at? Well, the benefit's only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Works religion won't do it. Your consecration and your commitment to external factors, that will not do it. It will not make you right with God. The only way you can experience the righteousness of God is through what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. Jesus Christ is the way that God has revealed himself to us today. Jesus Christ is the eternal God, and he gives us eternal salvation. Do you have righteousness today? The only way you can have righteousness is if you're in Jesus Christ. The only way you can be counted righteous is if you're in his righteousness. I say that and I hammer it home because why? Because there's so many today, people yesterday, today, that will go about to try and participate in what they think is righteousness that God will accept. Not understanding they're actually dishonoring God. They're actually dishonoring God because they're saying, Let me do this, Lord, even though you've already done this for me. So you dishonor God. You discount what God has accomplished. Well, we can't do that. We have to weigh it. We have to say, what's important? What I see in this earthly realm that I can be a part of, or what God has eternally decreed in Jesus Christ? And that's what you have to measure and find the profit. The benefit, the gain is in Jesus Christ today when it comes to salvation. What if you're saved today and in a June crowd in this part of Central Florida in the summertime? We're going to have more, obviously a lot more saved people here, people that have been saved for a long time, than we are going to have folks that came in and that are unsaved and maybe necessarily seeking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. What if you're saved this morning? What about, let's go a few more pages to the right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 real quick. You have to go a little ways to get to 1 Timothy 4, not a long ways. Got to go through the letters to the churches. You get to 1 Timothy 4, look at verse number 8. This is another familiar verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Paul's instructions to a younger preacher named Timothy. He says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." And maybe we should just quit reading right there, right, and talk about that. And then we could get a bunch of amens, right? It's no fun to exercise. Not really. Not really. It's fun after you get done, but it's not fun when you're thinking about having to go do it. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, right now, and of that which is to come. So let me talk about that. I mean, we talk about bodily exercise. And by the way, let me just make a point that'll upset us this morning. It doesn't say bodily exercise profiteth nothing. It says little, right? So in my powers of deduction, I can say there is some profit. Maybe it's easier to fight the flesh if there's less flesh. I don't know. Maybe. That's what it seems like. It says little. It doesn't say nothing. It says little. And like my dad says, it's like rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic. It's all going down anyway, right? Amen, amen. All right. That helps my decision for lunch go a lot better, right? But if you compare building up your physical body, taking care of your physical body, which we're supposed to do, but if you compare building that up and that being your aim every day, that's what your intent is every day. Build up the physical body. If you compare that with godliness, which is something that comes from within, not from without, from within. If you compare that, then the profit, you can see one profit's little, and then there's much profit. Much profit when it comes to exercising ourselves to godliness, walking after God and His Word. But here, where does it profit us? Where does it profit us? Look at it again, 1 Timothy 4, 8. "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things," all the things that God is dealing with us about, all that God is speaking to us about here, looking at it, "having promise of the life that now is," the one we're participating in right now before the Lord, walking by faith, not by sight, "having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." If you work to build up your inner man, if you work to be godly and follow after God and the things of His Word as a belonging to Christ, as a saved person, as a Christian, as a believer, if you work and you build that up, if you work on that, that doesn't just profit you today, it does profit you today, but it also profits you in the life that is to come. Man, that's big time right there. That's the judgment seat of Christ right there. That's after the judgment seat of Christ, where you've received what you've done in this earthly life. You receive the duties, the position, the job, so to speak, that God gives you going forward in the eternity yet to come, in the life that is yet to come. So that means today we ought to exercise ourselves to godliness. To godliness. We ought to walk after the Lord. We ought to walk after His Word and be like the Lord Jesus Christ. There's great profit there. There's profit today, because you reap what you sow. And there's profit in the next life. Not when we're having to sport these bodies of flesh anymore, but when we're in Christ and we're His fullness in eternity yet to come, his fullness. And I wish I could take time to explain all that that means. But what a blessing that is to think about. We have a chance right now to live and benefit and profit and gain today and in our eternal life in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is to think about that. Now, let's go back to our first verse, our first statement. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Everything there is to gain that the world could give you. Everything there is to gain that this earthly life can afford. What's the comparison between that and your eternal soul? And let me just make a quick application. Losing your own soul, that would mean your own personal soul, right? But what has God ever given you any other souls? Has he? Have you had any children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren before? Aren't those souls that God has given you, aren't those your own souls also? That's the way I see it anyway. So I could gain the whole world, and what if I lost one of those souls that God gave me? How would that comparison sit with me? How would it sit with you? See how important it is to put God first and the things of eternity first? His words that are spirit and they are life, eternal life, to put those things first. We're supposed to live with heaven in view, live with the next life in view, live with eternity in view, because there's no profit if we live for now and we live for the flesh and we live for the world. Oh, that's temporary, something that won't never give you happiness, but it might give you a little bit of pleasure for a fleeting time, but nothing satisfactory, nothing that lasts. No, only walking after the Lord is going to give us that eternal satisfaction of being in Christ Jesus. Think about this. There was an old preacher. His name was W.B. Henson. I don't know if you've heard about him. He was thinking about the fullness and duration of the life that God gave him. He was thinking about it because, as one Sunday he spoke, he said, "A year ago, a doctor told me, 'You have an illness from which you won't recover.'" He says, "I walked out to where I live, 5 miles from Portland, Oregon." He says, "And I looked out across at the mountain that I love, always loved to gaze upon. He says, I looked at the river in which I rejoice. I looked at the stately trees that are always God's own poetry to my soul. Then in the evening, I looked up into the great sky where God was lighting his lamps. And I said, 'I may not see you many more times, mountain, but I shall be alive when you are gone.'" He says, "I might not see you many more times, river, but I shall be alive when you cease running toward the sea. And stars, I shall be alive when you have fallen from your sockets in the great downpulling of the material universe." Think about that. We can get bad news. Our flesh can go away. It can be afflicted. It can be stricken. And our earthly life can go away. But do you understand, that's just the little blip on the radar. That's just the little moment that we're dealing with now. Our existence is in Christ Jesus for all eternity, forever and ever and ever. And as you look at that, yeah, you can look at inanimate things that have been around for a long time. Pieces of stone and wood and marble and in different things that you have, metal that you can look at. And yes, they've been around. Oh, it's going to be around forever. No, 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 no. If you're in Christ Jesus, you'll be around much longer than that. Amen. Can you think about eternity? Can you think about today? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Can we get our mind right? Can we have the mind of Christ on this thing? Can we let God's eternal words that do profit, profit right now and they profit forever, can we let them sink in? Can we think about our relationship today with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? What about your relationship today? Don't tell me about, when I ask you about your relationship, don't tell me about the religious things you've done. Because that's not what I asked. When someone asks me if I'm married, do I start telling them about the ceremony that my wife and I had? I talk about, you know, the tuxedos or the dresses or the whatever, the decorations. course not. When I ask you about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not asking about what you've participated in, what you've shunned, what you've done and what you've not done. I'm asking you about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because according to the Scripture, not man's opinion, but according to the Scripture, that's how God has revealed himself to us. And you're either in him or you're still yet in your sin. So what's the answer this morning? Looking for the prophet of the whole world, and this is your heaven right now? Or are you thinking about the eternity of your own personal soul? What's your relationship like with the Lord Jesus? Have you accepted what God has done for you? How do we know what God's done for you? Because of what Jesus Christ accomplished according to the eternal words of God. He left heaven, he lived, he died, he shed his blood, was buried, and rose again the third day. Not according to man's opinion, but according to the Holy Scriptures. That was God's work of salvation. That was God's work of reconciliation. If you're right with God today, it's because you're in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're not right with God today. What's the answer when you look at your eternal soul this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thank you for listening to me this morning. We're going to have a time of invitation. A time of invitation to conclude the service. Once again, asking you to make a decision as far as looking in your heart. You're the only one that can do it. Not the person next to you, not the person in front of you. Definitely not the person up here talking. It's between you and God. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? I didn't ask you if you heard his name or have a picture of him on the wall or a cross hanging from your rearview mirror. I didn't ask any of those things. I asked you about your personal relationship with God. Have you accepted? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your personal Savior this morning? How many can say, yes, I have. Here's my hand of testimony. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for raising your hands. You can put them back down. Is there anybody here today? I should be able to see you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and I could pray for you at this time if you desire prayer. Anybody that would say, I'm not saved, would you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand this morning? Anybody like that? I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Would you put your hand up just so I can see you real quick? Father, you know each heart, and we trust you, Father, and we give everything over to you the best we can right now. Father, I thank you that we can know the truth in a day where the truth is blurred and the truth, there's an attempt for it to be corrupted. Father, I thank you today that we can know you in Christ Jesus. And Father, that we can look forward to an eternity in Christ Jesus because of what you've accomplished for us. Now, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for it. We wouldn't be able to walk by faith if we didn't have it. So, Father, you've given it to us, and you leave the decision with us whether we're going to accept it and act upon it. But you've given it to us, Father. So, Father, I pray that faith may be found today amongst all those that you're dealing with. Lord, that they would just side with you and accept what your word says. Father, there might still be questions, but, Lord, you've given them an answer book, and you'll give them the answers in your timing, and they'll grow in you. So, Father, we pray for that to be accomplished today, and we pray for anybody that's here that's not saved. Lord, for those that are saved, Lord, we need to understand what really does profit in this life and what profits in the next life, and help us to walk after your word. Help us to do that even today and this week, this summer. Father, may you bless this invitation time as we yield over to you, Father, and give it to you the best way we